Hello, everybody. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Sum of You show. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. Hey.
Hello.
Hello. Anybody in the queue?
No. No.
Okay.
Well, but I have plenty to talk about, too, so it's okay.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. The good news is this morning is a pain-free morning, but what led to that was a very painful aftermath from the last show, and I get everything confused and skewered because when I think when we are dealing with chronic circumstances, we tend to go into survival mode and we tend to disassociate so that we can function. So I've gotten a little bit too good at that. And I think sometimes my linear cognitive thinking, like timelines and things, get very, very blurred because I never get to recover. It feels like I never get to recover from anything because there's another crisis that I have to deal with. So in a nutshell, from Thursday to now, it was just an upheaval of feeling underappreciated by my older child, and then just feeling in crisis mode with the younger one, in terms of him sneaking out, in terms of being in risky situations with risky kids. Being defiant, not understanding that no, it's not. You can't leave the house at 11:30 at night to hang out with your friends on a school night.
Right.
Wherever I would turn, and I have been so rattled on so many levels, and I haven't interacted with their dad. Their dad has interacted with them. And, of course, he's really spared for actually their mutual benefit, the kid's benefit, and for his benefit. Not that I'm accommodating him. It just is the benefit of that, is the residual plus side of that. So it's not his fault, but he's rather clueless. So I'll get an email like, did you know that his friends, and I'm like, oh my god, if you, and it just illuminates the issue of what it is to be a young black man in this society. I don't know, maybe I'm twisted, but I think racism is worse than it was when I was a kid. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I feel like we've gone backwards. I don't know. Maybe that's just my warped perception right now because I'm so shell-shocked. I really can't be objective right now. And with many of my younger son's friends, there are some that are not allowed here because they disrespected security. Thank you. And we're kind of, a little bit under a microscope. And then there are others that are welcome. And some of these kids are in very marginalized situations. Some of these kids are hungry. I'm happy to feed these kids, to welcome them into my home, to be super accommodating, to not judge. And you can tell that it's refreshing to them, and it's heartbreaking. It's like, oh, my God, this woman who doesn't know me isn't judging me. You know? So you always look for what's beautiful in heightened situations. And it's just been a little bit of a roller coaster, and again, my cognitive linear thinking is really really off because I'm interviewing for projects. So I have to completely shut down. Even if I cook a meal, I have to shut down. If I'm walking across the street so I don't get hit by a car, I have to shut down. Like, it's triage, crisis. It's not cute, and I'm doing everything in my power to just keep my immune system up and not get in trouble in terms of any sort of appearance of ill health. I can't. There's just so much at stake. And things got to a head yesterday where my son didn't want to go back to school after break, just wanted to stay home with me. I was losing my mind. Finally, after 45 minutes, got him. I'm in very close contact with his teachers, with the school therapist. She intervened. We were texting all day, the therapist and myself. And as I said earlier, he left the house twice last night. One time I knew about, the second time I did not. So I'm coming out to check up on him. It's a little after 10 o'clock. I'm the only one in the house. And the GPS was off the phone. Because these kids are smart. They can hack into – forget Russia. These kids – hire a 12-year-old. These kids can hack into anything. So I finally got him on the phone. I begged him to come home. And I realized in the same vein of what I had to do with their father, which was surrender – willing to give up my apartment and to move to another country in 5 years once my youngest was 18, just to, because I was done. I had to, it's very difficult to surrender, especially when there's a 12-year-old and there's legal ramifications and keeping them safe and all of that, but I had to find my version of surrendering within those responsible parameters and boundaries. And I just held him. I fed him again because his kid's always hungry. I just held him, and he said, well, why don't you just stop worrying? I said, if you give me a reason to stop worrying, you have to work on helping me not worry as much, and I have to work on not worrying so much because it gets to the point that I'm on medication, but I'm like dancing with getting full-blown panic attacks because as a mom, it just takes over you. It's one thing if it's your own safety. And the tragic thing is I've been referring to the days of grieving my daughters, the good old days. That is so jacked up.
Right.
That is so right. I never thought I would get to lower depths of pain. Well, they exist. At least the grief is my own. And it wasn't like I had to worry about her safety. But a bunch. That's the best daycare is heaven. But anyway, the point being is, I just came from a place of surrender and love. I'm happy to say that today is the first morning in months that I haven't started the day in frustration and tears. And he left for school at a reasonable hour. Whether he's marked on time or not, if he's late, he'll be 5 minutes late. I'll take it. So it's a better morning. So
goodness,
it's a better morning.
Well, wow! Like I never know what's going to happen over the weekend.
I know.
Like we go like a day during the week, and it sounds like so much happens in that, you know, between Tuesday and Thursday.
It's crazy.
So then between Thursday and the next Tuesday,
oof!
I'm like what?
A lifetime. A lifetime.
Well. I do want to get into my weekend, but we do have a hand raised, so I thought I'd
okay, we'll take the call.
Switch
then we'll
into
about
that.
You. All about you, Elisa. Oh.
I know. I have to start my own show.
Oh, my God. You need your own show. Well, you know what? We did have a caller. We did. See, I love to throw things back.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Bring
oh,
it up again.
You know what? That Liz, Elisa needs to have her own show because that Liz, she's just so rough.
Oh,
girl,
my
welcome to
all
New York.
Right.
Get the hell out. Okay, we'll be done.
Oh, and we take a deep breath in.
Okay.
And we take
and I meditate every day. This is someone who meditates, okay? Meditation and coffee. Anyway.
All right, let's go. Area code 843. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Good morning. My name is Brittany.
Oh, we spoke to you before.
Yeah.
Yeah,
don't act like we don't know you. Hi, Brittany.
I know.
She'd be like, I mean, how many shows do you call? No, I'm just kidding. Hi, darling.
Hi, how are you?
Amazing. So, what's happening?
Just taking one day at a time. I just call in for a message.
Perfect. All right, so you remember the routine. You'll hear the music, say the word pick, so I can hear you say that, and I'll let you know what the message is for you. I'm ready when you guys are.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Pick.
All right. Okay, the number associated with this message is 415. And here's your message, Brittany. Release what you've held on to as jaded and cynical, and observe the fresh energy of new love. Feel this into your heart and allow romance in now. Girl, what's going on?
I'm not sure what's going on.
Let me read it again. Release. This is a romantical message. Release what you've held on to as jaded and cynical. So whatever beliefs you've had about love in the past that was kind of not the brightest of feelings, have you had that attitude about relationships, like they're not all that, or you've been burnt in the past? Have you had that experience, that you kind of like your perception of what you've been holding on to? Okay.
Me and my
and I remember that from when you would talk to us in the past. So what this message is telling you, Brittany, is to release that illusion and to observe a new energy that's coming in. You have to feel that first within yourself without anybody sort of representing that. It's really something that you observe within your own field of expression, experience, and energy. And it says, observe the fresh energy of new love. Feel this into your heart and allow romance in now. 415. So maybe you're getting to a place that you're tired of feeling jaded about love and you're ready for something new. Would that be the case?
Yeah, because me and my significant other has been up and down. So
maybe it's time to walk away.
I just got upset and I just told him, you know what, if it's meant to be, it'll be, or whatever. But
this
as
message
of right
is telling
now,
you, this message is telling you, let go of the old and embrace the new. This message is like spelling it out. And the thing is, messages that are this specific are not common. This is like very specific. And I remember quite a few phone calls from you dealing with the struggle with your soon-to-be ex. I'll just put that out there. Interesting. I'm going to throw this over to Elisa, but very, very, like, in-your-face message. I think that's good. Because you picked a girl.
Yeah.
Well, that 415, I mean, that one, the number one is you. That's the middle number. What's going on here is that four is sort of your habits. You know, four is usually about your structure, your plans, but it's also your habits. It's what your discipline, what you've been doing, and what's happening is you're realizing you've already grown and you're growing from all of this, and that's why the five on the other side of you, that 415, that five is saying, yeah, you've been stretching and growing, and now you, in order to go into the five, you can't stay a four. You can't continue doing what you've been doing. So when five is about change and growth, you have to change it. That's literally, you have to change it. And it's from knowing what you have been doing and realizing I've got to come up with some other ways that expresses who I am now. Sometimes the stuff we do as out of habit, it's because that's what we were doing. That's how we were coping. That's what made sense at the time. You know, some of these habits we've been doing since we were little kids, and we haven't had a reason to think about it. but to think about how it may or may not be holding us back until something like this happens, until you take a moment to reflect and say, oh, I'm still not, like, even with this, you know, with this relationship, like, if you've been going around and around the circle, guess what needs to change for anything to change, you know? The person who's aware of it has to make some changes. And the risk, obviously, is that the other person involved can't change at the same time with you. But that's okay. Like you said, you know, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. But for right now, the adjustment here, it's everyone's adjusting. But if for you to take the initiative and say, I've got to make some changes for me, and if you're part of this, you know, it'll show up. You're giving it space. You're giving him space to figure out how he needs to grow. Because it may be that however long you guys have been together, you know, you've grown maybe separately and maybe apart, but you're still kind of holding on to the notion that we have to be together. But when it gets so overbearing that, you know, it's not just not right. It's not right for either one of you. Like, maybe you're hurting each other. The decision has to be made first, you know, on your own, and then as a couple, just so maybe you can make that transition still as friends or as peacefully as you can. Because what's happening is you're just creating a new space, because you are somebody who has grown into who you are. And you're finally starting to recognize that, like, that this is not like, like a 12-year-old Brittany, you know, anymore, or, you know, it's somebody different, you know. It's there's still parts of you that are like that, but you're growing up and you're having to make some. They don't have to be really difficult decisions, but they're, you know, when you're letting go of something, it's not always easy. But it's easier when you realize I have to let it go. There's such a difference in that. You know, you're not going to resist it as much, because what is possible feels so much lighter than what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
And you can still create that, just like you created this. Like, you created all of this for right now, and it was working for a while, and now it's like, okay, I got to create something else. And the good thing is, we're creators. We can create that. So never doubt what you're able to do, and also never doubt that intuition where you're like, something has got to change, and the only thing you can change is you. Yeah. You know, you can't make him change. You can't make him agree with your change.
No,
but the only thing you can change is you.
I had to just say, you know what, like, you know, I'm always giving. I'm always doing. Mm-hmm. I have to fix me. Mm-hmm. I have to fix me.
Yep.
And if you recognize the good, possibly, but as of right now, it doesn't even matter if you recognize it. I just know
step
that
back.
I just got to
step back
and just do what I need to do for myself. So
let go of the attitude. Let go of the perception. That's what I mean by attitude. Like the perception of how you think what love is.
That was not love.
That's
all.
Not love, right. That shows
you
so that you can know what love is. So
you
bless the teacher in your ex. And sometimes words just don't even, trust me, girl, because I'm in the middle of a divorce. Sometimes words don't really do much. It's really you stepping back and taking your space so that you can live in your grace. Okay?
Yeah, so I have to fix me, so
yeah,
I'm going through a lot
of change. Nothing's broken.
I mean,
you're not broken.
Nothing is broken.
Yeah. Right.
I'm just moving
so
forward.
Fix. It's just you want to heal.
Yeah.
There's a difference between fixing and healing, okay? Because healing is there's always perfection within that, right? So it's just walking towards health.
Yes.
Body, mind, and spirit. Yeah. So, good to hear, because we always recognize your voice, Brittany. It's like, there's Brittany. So,
well, I remember
don't
the 843. I'm like, that's South Carolina. I love it. South Carolina.
Yeah.
And then Brittany,
gets
her biscuit voice on.
Biscuit. Ooh, now I want a biscuit. Why did you say that to me? You don't be a stranger, and please update us sooner than later, okay? Don't take so long to call us back.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, darling. Alisa, I just want to let you know we got an email that I think we should get to first, because all about you.
Okay. Oh, stop. Well, Brittany, I'm proud. Yes. I'm proud that you are coming to these realizations,
yes,
for yourself. And if you just call it for confirmation, you definitely have it. That, mm-hmm, message says it. So, you know, you can be as gentle and as loving with yourself in this process, because, you know, you kicking yourself isn't going to make it any better. So,
no,
you know, choose your words, really choose like the end result of what you want, which I know is going to be something very grateful, very loving, very kind, and start from there. Go for that feeling, because you have those words, and you can make those decisions. So you have a lot of power within you to create exactly what it is that you want. And even if you don't know exactly what it is, you kind of have a better idea, right, based on what you've just been through. So
yes,
just go with that flow. And I'm so proud of you,
yes,
for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll talk to you soon. I'll keep you on mute here. So.
All right. So real quick, we got an email from Sheba. She wants to know what to do about her current marriage. She has two birth dates. I'm just going to give you her birth date because he's not calling us. And I'm just going to give you the month and the day, because the year and all that, Sheba, that's like a private reading situation. So just for the radio, 7/7 is the birth date. And while I was reading this email, while I was listening to Alisa speak to Brittany, and again, I just get images and none of it ever makes sense to me, but I write it down. But Sheba, I got the image of a rooftop, and like a rooftop more in an urban city environment as opposed to a rooftop like on a house, like in the suburbs or the country. And so a rooftop in a city kind of environment. Don't know if that has any significance for you, but that's the picture that came to mind. And Alisa, I guess she's listening. So 7/7, mm-hmm, is her birthday. She wants to know about her current marriage.
Well, she is in a sixth year as of her birthday back in July.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole year since July has been about those relationships. I mean, six is we call that nurturing number, that mothering number. It's also a teaching number. And I did a fair, inadvertently was doing numbers at a fair this past weekend.
I want to hear
so
about that.
A lot of people who came in had a lot of sixes, like as far as their personal years were going, and on all these people. So people came in with their partners or their significant others, and that they were in that six energy. And a lot of them, especially if they had a six in their name or their birth date, they were really struggling with how much to give. I think it was her name, Sheba. So Sheba, is also, she's a Cancer. So that's already naturally a very emotional, very giving sign. That is, you know, ruled by the moon. So there's a big feminine type of energy of wanting to care. So that, along with this number six energy, is saying, you know, you're going to put a lot of energy out for a lot of other people, but you may not be doing the exact same thing for yourself.
Exactly.
And a lot of times what we see is this imbalance for sixes. And I have to own this too, because I'm a six. I mean, that's not even my personal year, but it's my path in this lifetime. So to want to help other people is so natural. To want to come up with solutions for a problem is so natural, even if it's not even your problem to fix. All of a sudden, it becomes your problem to fix. And because you're so good at it and people trust you with it, you end up taking on all this extra responsibility, because we're so responsible.
Yeah.
And we're so good at it that most of the time it tends to, like, you know, like everyone tends to be, oh, wow, it worked. And that makes you feel good. That makes you feel good that you helped somebody. They're very appreciative of it. And so that's feel good all around. But check yourself, because at the end of the day, you can be exhausted. And then you look at all the other stuff you had agreed to do and help out with.
Yep.
And you never have a break.
Nope.
And it's also not always the easiest thing to accept help or an invitation to take a break. And, you know, I just spent some time with you, Liz, in New York, and, you know, it took three of us to come in and
right.
say, why don't we just paint your house, you know, or just to get that started. And you're like, okay, you know. But, you know, you're also trying to do everything that you want to feed us and take, you know, and which, you know, it was trying to, she was trying to even out that energy.
Right.
But think about how much energy you had already put out. And so a lot of times we don't think about that. You know, no one wants to think in terms of I got to even it out right away. But it's within the natural flow of allowing people to show their best selves.
Right.
When you recognize that, that's almost like the even bigger gift than just being able to
absolutely,
do something for them.
Absolutely. I had to honor that.
Right.
So I had to meet you guys. I had to meet you guys where you guys were. Absolutely.
But also be able to do that on your own energy without feeling like, oh, now I gotta wake up extra early and I gotta do all this.
I was inspired. No, I was inspired.
Right.
No. I was happy to do it.
These are the nuances for handling this number six energy.
Right.
Because anytime you put so much energy out and you sincerely care about the well-being of others, because a lot of times sixes have witnessed or have felt where they weren't cared for.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would not want anyone else to feel that, if at all possible. That's how giving that energy is.
Mm-hmm.
But giving isn't always easy. If you're always giving, you never have time to receive. And receiving is just as crucial to your well-being, for you to be the best you, to take care of other people. So this cycle of usually what ends up being a deficit and then ends up being resentment can build. It can build for someone as sweet natured as a six just because of this not remembering to allow.
Not breathing.
You know, sometimes not remembering to allow the breath, to allow a space to just rest. So I got this message big time because I had so many of them come to me over the weekend, and they all had this fixed energy. I'm like, I get it. I get it. So for Shiva, and, you know, we didn't get the other person. I don't know if you want to tell me the other person.
Yes, I can.
Just to see.
Yes. Yeah, that's great that you're doing that. 2/10 is his birthday.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's an Aquarius. Interesting. let's do this really quickly, because I could do just a quick personal year. Because he's already had his birthday. It's a 5. So, you know, he's in a 5. You're in a 6. 5 is that growth and change and all kinds of surprises, because the energy is sort of pushing him out of his comfort zone. Any plans that he have made, you know, are being kind of modified. The reality of actually living it is settling in. So he's having to adjust to some things that he probably wasn't planning for, but has to come up with now and has to figure out how that's going to fit. You've already been through that 5 period in this whole cycle. So, you know, you're a little more settled, and you tend to be the one that's more settled in terms of, you know, what, you know, you want to do. So, when you go, not that you have to, you know, be in partnership with somebody who's in the same cycle as you, but, you know, there was a little bit of an overlap. There's usually a little bit of an overlap for people who are like one after the other, 5 and 6, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you have to focus, your natural tendency is to focus on everybody else and just, you know, as you're doing that, keep yourself in the equation. And especially with someone whose path or whose personal year right now is sort of unexpected in terms of what he's going through. I like to call the 5, a number 5 personal year, like a roller coaster. I've done a reading for somebody who had a 5 personal year and was going through a divorce and absolutely loved it. Love, because she was ready for it, was ready for all that to end. It was like, okay, I'll take it, you know, because she was, that was her mindset. She was ready for these kinds of changes. So she liked the roller coaster ride. She had her hands up, you know, was taking every dip, like, woo, you know, like that was, she was enjoying that ride because that's what she had wanted. Not everyone likes roller coaster rides, myself included. So, so having to adjust can be, that's half the battle right there, is just realizing you're on that ride and you actually are locked in, and you just have to, there's no way to get off that ride without hurting yourself. So you have to just keep going. So I don't know if that helps in where he's, you know, understanding where he's at, but I feel like for someone who's a six, there's a lot of, you're always trying to understand other everybody else, possibly to the detriment of yourself. So being able to take care of those things for you, you don't have to ignore the other person. You can still be present and let that person figure out. Sometimes that's the best way to love, is to show them, I love you enough to let you figure these things out because I know you're an intelligent person. And even if those decisions aren't the decisions you make for you, let it play itself out. Because in those times when maybe you're not as close, you know, physically or whatever, think of them as little breaks so you can take care of yourself. That's your pocket and your air to breathe. So good luck to you on that. Hopefully that shows you a little bit of what's going on. And your birthday is coming up soon. So that's a different, you'll go into a different energy from what you have been doing from a six into a seven. But for right now, when it's talking about, say, relationships, that six is a very big factor in understanding that energy of wanting to give, but not always wanting to take in as well.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, we just as a reminder, we both of us do private readings. And so some of the things that I had been doing over this weekend was at a fair here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of quick. So if you're in Atlanta, we have to just see if I do a fair anywhere. But otherwise, you know, we can get into much more in-depth types of information.
Absolutely. You can send
on
an email.
Private readings. Send an email. Yeah,
loablend@gmail.com.
That's the right. Best way. And until I actually get up a different site, I took down my other site, my Some of You site, because I wasn't doing anything with it. And now I'm like, I'm going to change it. I'm going to do something.
Change it up,
new.
Girl. Cool.
Put
a link for us in there. Yes, because I don't have
a
web presence either. It's not funny. You and I are always the same. It's not funny. loablend@gmail.com. Again, that's loablend@gmail.com. And you just heard evidence of just the barely scratching the surface of what Alisa can offer. We do separate readings. I read energy. She has her intuition, the science of numerology. And the two of us also tag team and do a much more personal, in-depth version of the show, but privately and tailored to your issue. So none of the brilliant banter that you know, you guys hear twice a week. But tell me, so tell us about the psychic. Oh, and just going back to Sheba, like, yeah, so I would, don't know if she's still listening, but I would love to know if there's any significance with the symbolism of a rooftop in a city environment or an urban environment, like an apartment building rooftop, because that came in so clearly.
What I get from that, just when you just said that, because I wasn't paying that close of attention earlier when you said, I was like, rooftop, whatever. That was just saying be above it all. Like, be above it all. Like, there's a lot of busyness, especially because it's a city.
Point.
There's a lot of busyness.
Yes.
And when you are on top of that roof and you're looking out, you're above it all. So you can kind of get a feel for what your own thoughts are versus all the busyness around you on the ground level. You know, sometimes you got to see above it to understand your place in it, or even if you want to have a place in it, you know, sometimes you just say, you know, that's too busy. I'm just going to stay up here for a while.
Right.
Get your space.
Right.
You know, get your space and get your perspective.
See? That's why the two of us, I would have never said that. Thank you. So that's tag teaming. And that's the joy of doing this show. Interesting. So let's see if we hear back from Sheba. I'll be checking the email periodically for the rest of the show. See if we hear back from her. But, yeah, what you said was, oh, my God. I mean, I was like, girl, absorbing that. We just went to church. So tell us about the fair.
Well, this weekend in Atlanta was the Holistic Wellness Fair, and it's put on a couple times a year by one of my old friends who I met with my mentor, Lois Grant. So we are all part of this group of, you know, metaphysical and spiritual students, just, you know, figuring out what we wanted to do, how we wanted to approach our own gifts. So years later, you know, my friend Nancy is putting on these holistic wellness fairs. And I had sort of gotten out of it because of my work schedule. I tend to be very busy on the weekends with my wine tours and my day job. But Anna, my cousin, decided to get a booth and had just sort of mentioned it to me. And I thought, if I'm not doing a tour. But it was both days. It was Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And so I went on Saturday. She came over. We carpooled together, so we got there early, set up.
Nice.
I brought my numerology cards and some past life cards and just figured, okay, well, you know, if the opportunity comes up, maybe I can do some readings, you know. I just do them for donation because I didn't have a setup like, hey, you know, dollar a minute or whatever.
Right.
So that
That's for your other job.
Perfectly. Yeah, right. Hello.
sorry.
So the fun part was that Anna and our friend Julie Osborne, who's a comedian, they had one of the speaker spots, and on Saturday apparently they definitely had some speakers and some events happening on Saturday, and I think they were going to try to have something like that on Sunday, but it was at a church, so I think maybe that the facilities were being used in other areas, so they probably didn't have as much freedom to get into a different pocket and just do something like they did on Saturday. So she did. She hosted a comedy show for an hour.
Nice.
Where she introduced Julie, and then Julie did her little, you know, her little stand up thing, and it was hilarious.
I'm sure it was great.
And, you know, it was definitely cleaned up. If, you know, Julie, well, if you have a chance to go to any comedian, most of them are, you know, you gotta bleep out some of the words. But this was at a church. And in fact, the pastor of the church was in the audience when she found out later. She recovered very well.
Right.
And then, so that was like the first, you know, 20 minutes or so. And then they both got up and did a little thing on numerology, and they were sort of deferring to me every so often, like, Lisa, you know, tell me about this. And I'm like, no, you guys are doing fine. Cause I wasn't sure, you know, if it was meant to be like, you know, let's poke fun, but it actually ended up being great because at the end, Julie brought me down to the stage because we were in this sort of like a, I don't know, in a, like an amphitheater, like a raised area. So
yeah.
I went down, and she introduced me, just said, you know, this is the, she said that she dealt with a few other, you know, people who do numbers. She has another friend who does numerology, but she said, I remember asking Elisa about my numbers for a personal year. And she told me a lot of stuff I didn't want to hear, but
look at that marketing though. Good for you.
She did. She totally did.
She pimped you.
She said,
yes.
Both of them pimped me out because,
she
said, if you have a chance, go ahead and drop by the Universal Energy Media table.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I'll be around to do numbers, do some quick readings for donation, and that was that. And everybody already had figured out their birth dates, so because that was part of the exercise that Anna and Julie had done. So they all had these little index cards. I had to calculate much, you know. I did a little.
That's great.
To do personal year, so people were lined up. And it was a great
I'm so proud of you.
It was a great feeling, you know.
You
like,
made some money?
I made a little bit of money. Not everyone put in money, but I was like, you know what?
That's okay.
It's all good.
For the people, by the people.
It was all good.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So we had
people waiting and waiting and waiting, but it was such
great practice.
Look
at you, rock star.
Yeah.
And you had said when we were in New York, and you've said this since on the air, about expanding that part of your work the way that I want to expand it outside and in addition to what we do on the air. We've been doing it for 7-8 years now, whatever, I don't even know how many years, but for a minute. And that is such evidence That's great. I am so happy and proud of you, and I'm not surprised because you're so good at what you do. So that's brilliant.
Thank
Girl.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. Got a lot of positive feedback. A lot of great people are like, oh yeah, you know, I want to talk to you more. And I'm like, I got to get cards. You know, I don't.
Yeah. Did you have a mailing list? Did you get like emails to people?
No, because I wasn't even planning on doing readings.
Well,
I was just like, oh.
Well, good. So, well, next time, that's great. You'll just start your list. It's a great start. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. So,
I'm a big girl now.
It was
so proud of you.
Saturday. Mm-hmm. Very busy on Saturday. I got home probably around 7:30, and I told my aunt, I'm like, I'm going to go lie down.
Yeah, you must have been exhausted.
I woke up at 2 in the morning.
Oh, my Lord.
I slept.
Of course you did.
Slept.
You were out.
Had a ton of dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had, in fact, but before we left that show on Saturday, there's a woman, like, to the next table to us, like, she's Indian. And she was busy all day because I was kind of looking over and I saw there were a lot of people between our two tables with all the stuff that was going on with our table.
Wow.
And I'm like, she had a lot of people waiting. And so I went over there and I, you know, was sort of chatting with her. And I said, I think I'm going to try to see you tomorrow. She said, well, do you want to go ahead and make an appointment? Like, you go ahead and get on this list, because she's like, you know, it can get kind of busy. I said, you know what? You're right. So let me go ahead and get my name down and we'll do a reading. And so thank God I did that, because she did it right. I mean, she has a following. Definitely. She had you know, her appointments filled out pretty much probably for the whole day. But she had a really good reading. She's like, she said, you know, she was like grilling me. I'm like, so what, you know, how much sleep do you get?
Oh,
because you're not getting a lot of sleep, are you? I said, no. I said, I got a lot of sleep, you know, last night because I was exhausted. She's like, yeah. What time do you go to bed?
Ooh.
I'm like,
she
called you. Like, you know, like probably after midnight, you know, like after midnight.
Ooh.
And she said,
how
no.
much after
She's
midnight?
Like, Yeah, a lot. And I said, it's been very interrupted. And she said, yeah, you're not getting any deep sleep.
Ooh.
And she said, that's probably why, you know, the lucid dreaming is there, which is good, but that also means you're really not getting any rest.
Right.
So she said, you need to go to bed at 10. She said, not that you're going to be asleep at 10, but because she said, it'll probably take you a little bit to wind down.
Right.
But she said that between 10 and 12 is when, like, there's certain functions that of your body that need that downtime.
Girl.
And so I said, okay. So she said, you know, you need to, like, go to bed. She said, you know, you're drinking enough water. I said, I feel like all I drink is water, and then occasionally like some herbal tea. And she said, well, you probably need like some coconut water or something with like trace minerals
to hydrate.
In it.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting the right minerals from drinking this water. So I said, okay. So I still have to do that. And she said, write down your dreams. She's like, you need to do a blog or something with your dreams.
Hello.
Okay.
Did you hear that before? Okay. Did you hear that before? Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. And then she's like, what's going on with your throat chakra? I'm like, I think I've always had issues like thyroid, something or another.
Oh, girl.
And she's like, okay, you probably need to get like some type of, like, you know, she was recommending lapis, like some type of gemstone. She said, do you have anything blue? I said, well, I have like a turquoise. She's like, well, that's good, but you probably need something a little stronger. So she was pointing to her own. She had a nice necklace with different, you know, different stones around it.
Right.
And she's like, I've got one that's got this lapis sitting right on my throat. And she pointed to one of the booths that they were selling crystals. She's like, they seem to have really good stuff. You know, check on getting that.
Oh, wow.
Well, guess who manifested that in terms of someone else paid for it for me? The only person I did a reading for on Sunday was
Stop
a friend.
It.
She's a friend of Anna's. And we used to do a lot of work with her. It was like she worked for a state park. We did like tons of their T-shirts. And she's the one who's getting a divorce, is looking forward to it, is ready to start a new chapter in her life.
I get that. Yeah.
And And so, and she was one of those where I wasn't sure if, you know, what kind of an impact the reading was making on her, but then she was like, no, you hit it spot on. And
wow.
Then we got to talking, because she was, you know, she's like I said, she's a friend of Anna's, really.
Right.
And, but she kept, you know, everyone's sort of hanging out, like half our family was hanging out behind the booth. But I was telling her about my reading, and she's like, oh, she's like, well, what does lapis look like? I said, it's blue. So I said, I need to go over there anyway and see if I can find something.
Right.
So she ended up buying me.
Oh, my God. I love that. You are two for two. Wow.
And she's like, you are spot on. You just, you know, I want to encourage you to continue doing what you're doing, basically. And
girl.
So, you know, you need your confidence, and that's really what the stone was to help with, this inner confidence.
Isn't that interesting? Well, I want to mention two things. The first thing is, we got an email from Sheba that confirms that you're right on the head. I'm going to read that to you in a second.
Ooh,
and I'm going to forward it to you, because maybe you could use it as a testimonial.
Ooh,
I'm going to read that in a second.
Me.
And the other thing I wanted to mention to you is Anthony William, who's medical medium, and we love his book. Life-Changing Foods. He actually has a book that came, his newest book is called Thyroid Healing.
Oh.
And it's,
all right.
I mean, that's the title of the book, but it addresses a myriad of issues, all of it supporting health. So I would recommend going on Amazon and taking a peek to see if that book is worth including in your library. And let me read you Sheba's email. I'm going to forward it to you. So she says, and you can use this as a quote. She says, all I said was rooftop. So she's talking about you. She said, which is great. You hit it right on the head. I'm a big giver, and receiving can be hard for me, but I'm on a journey of self-love, and it's challenging since you're programmed to discount your needs. All I do is consume myself with my children and husband, and then I have nothing to give myself, but I've been putting myself first. Thank you for everything. I will reach out for a private reading. Peace and love.
Perfect.
We are three for three. We are three for
Perfect.
Three.
That
okay, I'm
going to
forward
so
this
good.
To you right now.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm going to forward this to you, and then you can actually follow up, because you'll get her email on this thread.
Okay.
So,
perfect.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So
girl,
not,
this
not,
is all about you. Beautiful. Yeah. Her email's in here. Good.
Not a surprise that she's a mother. She's got the kid. She's got the husband, and that's
girl.
She's putting out a lot of energy. You know, I get it. I mean, you do it too. You're Cancer. You know, that's just so natural. And like my rising is Cancer. My rising sign is Cancer.
That makes sense.
And I'm a six. So there's a lot going on with just, you know, that it makes you feel good, because you know that people feel good. But then
if you don't check in, it's sort of
short-lived, you know, you don't check in and realize, but I'm actually really tired. Like, we don't even want to say that, because it's such
no,
a norm.
Don't.
Like, well, I kind of always feel like that, you know, so maybe that's,
yeah.
But I feel happy, but I'm also really tired. So it gets a little confused. I will say I had another reading also, because I did a reading with Donna on Saturday. Donna Torres, who's a fantabulous,
she's amazing
acupuncturist, but she's also incredibly intuitive. But so I did a quick reading for her Saturday before we were leaving, and then so she followed up the next day. We did she did a tarot card reading with me, and it was really, really good. So she was saying there's a lot of good stuff, but for me as well, kind of in the cards, and most of it was just making sure that I was taking care of myself.
Good.
She actually did some stuff to my ear too, with some of the magnets and some things.
Yeah.
So she, you know, we were just, it was a really good weekend. And I also got some really great confirmation from her, because she was asking me some questions. Like, we had already left the fair on Saturday, and Anna and Donna and I were at Starbucks. I think Anna was exhausted. She's like, I just need to get some coffee or something so I can, you know, drive home.
Yeah.
And I had hot chocolate, but I still haven't had coffee yet.
That's impressive.
It was tempting, but I'm like, I don't want to
no,
start
good
right
for you.
Now.
You've been on a
start.
Streak. Listen, I'm the one who got you on the alcohol.
I haven't been back since, but I'm like,
I'm a bad influence. I'm like the friend, like, oh, no, that lit, no. I'm like, it's happy hour.
just take a snort, just a little snort. That's all
right.
You need, you know.
Just a syringe. Okay, let me stop.
Just a syringe.
Just a syringe.
But Donna was asking these questions. In fact, she asked specifically, she said, can your people, I want to ask your people something. I said, oh, and I could already tell, you know, my people are like, oh, okay. So I'm saying exactly what I'm feeling that they're saying. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, go ahead. And I'm, you know, you see those memes with Kermit the Frog sipping on tea, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what they're showing me. I'm like, all right. Because they already know. She's going to ask a question that she already knows the answer to. And she's
right.
Just, you know, is going to make it a little more confusing because that's sort of what she's used to kind of dealing with. So we're sort of poking fun at her, and it was just sort of flowing through me. I'm cracking up because I'm like, they're just waiting for you to go ahead, just go ahead and talk. It'll be okay.
So that's funny.
She's kind of catching herself because she knows, and. And so it was a really fun conversation to have, but I like that she asked for my people, and my people are like, yeah, okay.
They're like, we've been waiting for since 1990. Yeah, so that's great. Look at you.
Oh, they want
wonderful.
They want to mention the dreams that I've been having.
Yes,
because they know that you'll get it.
Yeah.
And they know that I'm getting it too, but it's like I'm also obviously asking you for a little bit more on that.
Yeah.
So, like, last night I had a dream where I was in a library. Surprise.
No kidding. Uh-huh. Sorry.
But in one of the scenes of the library, it's like people were dressed in like, black, basically, but not like this is, like, old-time, you know, maybe 1800s kind of dress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's in mourning or whatever. But one of the characters, I call it characters, because I'm like, that looks like Bea Arthur from the Golden Girls, but she had good hair. It wasn't like the helmet hair. And she was kind of walking around this table that had a bunch of people sitting in it. But the people weren't really, they looked really, really tired, either that or they were dead. I'm not sure. But they were, she was sort of sniffing because they smelled bad. And I'm in my head. I'm thinking, well, is it because they're actually dead? You know, because they're decaying, but they don't realize that they're dead. Because she was like making flowers grow or whatever. Like she was putting flowers around them, not like a bunch of flowers, like just like, just to kind of spruce it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Then I walked to another part of the library, and I remember crossing through a doorway of some sort, like you know, just like into a different room. And all of a sudden, the floor is all of a sudden it just sinks down like a very loose trampoline, that type of you step in and it could bounce up, but I just sink down. And there's a guy there who looks like, and I didn't watch the show, but The Office. He's like it looked like another actor from some show. But he was wearing glasses and he had a very casual, like the old time suit, but just like a casual, like a librarian suit, like a lot of browns or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he was sort of looking at me like, I finally got you. Like I finally, you know, you can't like leave here right away. Like he's been playing this game with me. Like he's been trying to get my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking back thinking, why did I walk into this room? Because almost like I knew that if I walked into this room, like this would happen. Like, I've been trying so hard to not. That was that line. I crossed that line, and now I've got to pay attention. And I want to say that there was a song, either a song or music, or some people were just kind of sing. Like it was all a game basically. And and I don't. I want to say like kind of like that ring around the roses type of thing, but not really. But something like that, something like a childhood song. But anyway, that's all I can remember from that.
Okay, got it. Let's stay with that dream.
Okay.
So, with this other time. This pattern, which you're now in the process of interrupting and transmuting, has been going on since all these past lives, which probably date back to that period, like 1800s or whatever. So with any change, there's a period of mourning, there's a period of grief, there's a period of letting go. And this is why you're being enticed by these positive experiences coming in and the building of confidence. So while space is being created for that and the letting go, there's also this transitional period, okay? And it's interesting because B. Arthur represents a combination of feminine and masculine energy. So
right.
She's a very strong woman, but she has a lot of powerful male energy. And I think she's fabulous. I think that's a great combination of balancing that energy. Her putting the flowers around is to revive the stale energy, what is decaying, with meaning you feel like you're in the space that you're living in right now, it's very stagnant. So what we had talked about before, I think off the air, I don't remember, was for you to create new patterns in your space of taking care of your things, of spring cleaning to get ready for the next environment. So that's what she's representing, that bringing in of new energy. That's why it wasn't a ton of flowers, like this is death and we're grieving, but to spruce it up. So basically
right.
It's what we were talking about before, to spruce up, to work with what you have. That could be very powerful. I know just in doing things in my apartment, 90%, I mean, I'm getting a few odds and ends, but 90% of what I'm working with is I'm working with stuff I already have. And I'm getting rid
right.
of stuff that I no longer want, no longer serves me. So it's reviving that stale energy, because the pattern is you no longer want to be influenced by the dynamic, and dare I say that's kind of symbolized by what your aunt is representing right now, is living but not living.
Right, right.
And that's getting to you.
Mm-hmm.
The doorway, when you go to the next room and the floor sinks down, that's you've just been trying to get grounded all this time.
That's
okay.
True.
Yeah, you're just trying to get – and the guy from the office, that makes perfect sense, like the librarian, he's kind of like the representative of your energetic group of guides, because, of course, they don't have a physical form. So that was an embodiment in a language that you would understand, like the nerdy guy from the office. Of course it's going to be someone who looks like a librarian. Of course, because that's a trusted, neutral, safe source. So now you're not so intimidated or afraid of your guides as you were years ago, but it's
right.
benign. It's not that deep. It's not that extra. It's benign. It's trusted. It's normalized for you, right?
Mm.
And that's why when Donna said, oh, you know, I want to ask your people a question, it wasn't that much of a scary thing for you. It was odd, but you get used to that. It's like going into a
yeah.
swimming pool that the water's a little cold, and then 5 minutes later you just take that plunge and then you're okay. That's
right.
all.
Right, right.
And then the thing is, why you were hesitant about walking into the room and knowing is because that embodies and represents your resistance. Because I've always said this, and I said this to you, and I said this to many, many callers, you know what's going on, that resistance serves a purpose, because once you pierce that veil, there's no turning back. So by
right.
evidence, by doing the readings and being on the air and getting the response and people lining up, there's no turning back, so it's just time to own it and no longer resist it. So you're walking through, oh, I can't even read my handwriting. Oh, you're walking through the resistance. And the thing is, you are perceiving things more as a game,
mm-hmm.
as you said. And that's great, because if you look at that, all of a sudden the rules in a game are a lot more carefree and playful and not as strident and punitive as breaking rules or the illusion of breaking rules. So if there can
right.
be a more playful, lighter, joyful energy, then the resistance becomes transmuted.
Right.
So there you go.
Look at that. So easy. That's so good. Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I like doing the dream stuff.
Well, there was, I know we're getting about to end the show, but there was another
yeah.
dream on
yeah.
Saturday night, maybe
uh-huh.
Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And we'll talk more on Thursday about some more of the people I met.
Yeah, I'd love to.
At the fair, because they were everyone at all the different booths, we're all like all into each other, like, hey, what's going on over here?
Oh, I love that.
There was a part of the dream where I was visiting a friend. This is a friend of mine from way back in the day. Mm-hmm. She had invited me to come to some dinner. And I said, okay, yeah, that's fine. And so I met her husband there. And then her son, she has a grade school mm-hmm. son. And it turns out it was like her son's end of year, play / end of year type celebration. Mm-hmm. But so I wasn't sure, like, is the whole thing a play? What's going on? Because it seemed like everybody had a role. Everyone had like, oh, and this is the part where we all sing or, whatever. And I'm like, I thought I was going to eat some dinner. like, I'm not part of the whole thing. But that's okay. I was just like, because the feeling was, she's always invited me to these kinds of things, And I always end up, it ends up being fine. They're not expecting me to do anything, but she just wants, because I'm here, why not? So when I leave, in the hallway, I see her older sister, who was my band director. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, look at you. What are you doing here? Because she lives in Seattle. And she's like, oh, I drove down. I'm like, you drove down from Seattle mm-hmm. to the DC area. And she said, yeah, it was something random about having to get a new computer. She's an educator. Her sister's an educator. But she said, I had to get this computer, and the only person who can get me this discount is her brother-in-law, the husband of my friend. And I'm like, okay. So it was just very random. Like, you drove down because it seemed urgent, but that's a long drive. Like, okay, whatever. So then I get into my bicycle. I have a bicycle in this dream, mm-hmm. and I'm riding. I'm outside, and there's a footpath, but it's like a wooden footpath, mm-hmm. cross over a bridge. And I'm like, I'm trying to avoid all these people because it's a footpath. It's a beautiful day outside. And I see up ahead that it's a very steep, rocky path that I have to get up. I got my bike, my crap. So I'm trying to gain some speed by not hitting people. And I know I can only get so far up before I'm going to have to get up and walk it up the hill, up this craggy, rocky path. So I do that, and I lift my bike up. It's not heavy at all, which is nice, because in the dream I'm like, wow, this bike is not bad at all. I'm walking, mm-hmm. and I hear people behind me saying, oh, I know you're going to laugh, because it was like basically there's something about these balls, like these people were playing some type of sport, and these and they're like, oh, do you see, like, I kind of saw one of these like little hacky sacks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Go past me, and I'm looking at my front tire, and the tire has like there's dirt and grass in it. I'm thinking, well, I did just try to ride up a mountain, so mm-hmm. so I'm digging some of these dirt pellets out, and they're actually some of these like little hacky sack balls or rubber balls or whatever, mm. and they're all up in my tire. So I take them all out, and by the time I'm done, I'm like, I don't even think I have, all I have is the tire, not even a tube inside. There's I can't use a bike anymore. Basically, I have to get like a new front tire.
Mm-hmm.
But but all these I give back to some guy who's like, oh, cool, thanks, because he somehow just thought he lost them all. And then it switches to where this bike is part of a movie, and the movie is the bike. Looks like it doesn't, like it, like it's been abandoned, right? Because I'm thinking I would have left the bike because I can't use it. But in the movie, you couldn't, sometimes you could see the whole bike and sometimes you couldn't. And when you couldn't, you thought, well, wow, that's why, exactly why you didn't want to use it. But when you could see it, it was because there was like a ghost of a girl on that bike. And so the movie kind of switches back and forth to where, oh, when you finally get it, like, oh, you thought, so what you can't see is more significant because there's still something there. You think it's not useful, but there's a reason why you couldn't see it. It's because the ghost of this girl is riding the bike. The ghost of the girl who is a ghost. And I don't know if it's like a reuniting type of thing where
uh-huh.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is.
But
it is. I'm going to tell
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. That's all I can
all right.
remember. I wrote some of it
That's
down, but I was like.
Plenty, girl, because I just wrote all this down. Okay. So, la, 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 la. Okay, so with the visiting of the old friend and being invited to dinner, it's that mm-hmm. yearning. We talked about this on previous shows of you wanting to go back and socialize. You
right.
want to get back into that sort of foodie dinner party, kind of like not being so isolated. And mm-hmm. the end of year celebration, well, you know, it's about to be the end of this one, this personal year that you're in, and you're about to go into another. So you're mm. feeling that pull. So that's where that end of year celebration comes in. And the thing is, everybody's playing a role. And the thing is, we all do that in our external lives, but you're not being fed. So mm. it's just kind of playing this role as you've been playing for so many people in so many circumstances your whole life. So you compromise, you kind of accept that, you convince yourself that it's okay. You're completely overlooking that you want to be fed. You end up suppressing that, and you're kind of okay with being in the position of your needs being second. Now, when you run into the sister who's the band director, she represents a time of your life when you weren't in such a perceived state of compromise. It was a freer time. I think you were in middle school.
High school.
Were you in middle high school?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was a freer time. But the thing is, you were questioning why the sister had the long drive, but for her, it's worth it. Because
right.
the long journey is worth it. So if you're perceiving as your journey being a long one, it's still worth it to get the prize.
Right. Right.
So it's not anything to judge. And it's interesting because the whole thing on the bike on the footpath, avoiding people who are walking, okay, you're on the bike not walking, you're avoiding people who are walking, you've been isolating yourself.
Mm.
So you could only get so far with that. So when you need to lift up your bike uphill, it's like you're literally taking matter into your own hands, understand? You're literally taking the bike into your own hands. You're walking up the hill, which is great. You're making that effort. You're doing the work. You're putting inspired action onto what you need in terms of next level and growth. And then you see that, you know, there's an organized sport with balls where you're growing some balls. And what's interesting is that your front tire, if you go and you kind of get through what's underneath the dirt, you found your balls. So you remove it, and you have no choice but to move on. You have no choice. And the reason why the bike is part of the movie and appears abandoned, well, guess what? The girl on the bike was abandoned. The girl on the bike was you. That's your old, your old pure self, the little girl that got into the mystic arts when you were, I think you said you were 9 years old, and that this is an invitation to reconnect with spirit because it's time. Done.
Mm. Wow.
Yes.
I used to love riding my bike, too, as a little kid.
That's right, and that's why.
That was
and
how
I
got
and
around.
And I don't remember that, but that makes sense. So that's that reconnection so it's not a ghost, but it's the self, that the little girl that was interested in the mystic arts that didn't have all of the imposition of, okay, being the organizer, being the planner, being the person, the giver, being that chronic six.
Mm-hmm.
So end of year means that all that is in transition now because you have a birthday in a couple of weeks.
Earl, you're good.
I am, right?
You're good. You're good. That's so, so good. And I've been writing down these dreams so I can remember more of them, but I know there's that common thread with that whole mystical part of it.
Always, yeah.
So
wow, those are good. So that's
you.
Good. So that's telling you, like, stay on your path. And so what? It's a little dusty. It's a little dirty. But you don't have to get out of the way of the people walking. You can join them. You can bridge that gap, you know? And it's interesting that that family came back because that's like your dinner party people. So that's interesting that that came up again. It came up in just regular conversation, and then it came up in your dream. So obviously that's on your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, and this was my friend. I mean, I've known her since high school because her sister was my band director. But
there
I remember she invited me years ago when I think I just met her. She spent time at our band camp because she was also a musician. And, you know, she invited me to come back up to her hometown, little town outside of Columbia, South Carolina. And that was the first time I ever felt really out of place because I had been in the sun for 2 weeks.
Oh, so you're brown.
It was dark.
You are brown.
And I'm hanging out with this white girl, with her Baptist church, you know, softball, you know, we were going to visit her, her boyfriend who played in a church softball league.
Right.
And that was the first time I ever felt like maybe I don't need to, you know, cause they were like, you're not one of us. You don't, you
where
know,
you're
you're
from?
Not from
yeah.
Here.
So there it goes. It pierces that. So to own your brownness and to own your balls and to just own who you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
You're doing really well.
Well, I feel really good. I have been trying to settle down by 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
I'm
How's
still
that
waking
been going?
Up. Like, it's been good because I've moved my computer away at night. So I'm not online. I try to sleep on the other side of the bed, so like my
oh,
phone
good.
Is not right next to me.
That's good.
I'm reading. I'm finishing up a book. That was also gifted to me this weekend from one of the vendors that we're hopefully going to have on the air at some point.
Oh, good.
She has So there's a lot going on there. So I was reading that book, very uplifting book. And I've been able to. I don't even look at the clock. I just I'm trying to get to bed around 10. And then just wind down. And then I think this morning I woke up around 4.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could hear my aunt. She had gotten up. And I usually close my door.
Right.
For whatever reason, I've been closing my door. I don't normally always do that.
Well,
but lately I have been.
Boundaries.
And
it's all about, I was just going to say boundaries. Even before you said that about the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the door was open a little bit and I heard her this morning, but it's been good. I actually wrote in my journal, that pink journal you gave me. I've been writing in it.
Oh, that
so
makes me
I,
so happy.
So I've been sort of reminding, you know, okay, I kind of did a little note to my people. I'm like, you know, thanks for all this, and you know, these are things that
finally.
I haven't asked, you know, for any particular help, but I'm asking for help on these things. So,
and it's
I
okay
to
ask for help. That's
yeah.
It only becomes active when you ask for help.
Right, right.
You got to ask.
So they've been good at sort of gently, you know, reminding me. Remember, you know, you can take these steps. So I've had a lot of positive reinforcement.
I am so happy
days.
For you. Yay!
It's been really good. Been really, really
Girl.
Good. So
yay! That's beautiful. I
Thank
hope
you.
That would be so great for one day for us to do something together live. I think that would be crazy.
Yeah. We should
one day.
We could put that in there. We could put that in motion, even if it's, you know, like at Lolita's or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that would be something pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
So I get it. I mean, people, you know, if you do want a dream interpretation, you know, again. Email us, loablend@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And, you know, Liz is like this whiz. Liz is the whiz at.
That's my. I've got to take a whiz in a second. And on that note.
We are way over time. We are way over time, but I appreciate you taking the time out.
I don't care.
Thank you.
I don't care. And on that note, no, it's nice because it's to do a show that I'm not like in tears. Thank you. I mean, I was in tears all day yesterday.
Right.
I was convulsing and in tears all day yesterday, so it's so refreshing. Oh, my God, I didn't cry at all this morning. Let's see if we are tear-free for the rest of the day. So if you guys want to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And this particular show is scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Great show, as always. Thank you so much. Mm. And in the meantime, looking forward to brighter days. Love you.
Love you, too. Take care, everybody.
All right. Bye, girl.
Bye.